Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast. I'm your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law. And today we are going to continue on our April theme, which is the probate and estate administration process. And today we're going to talk about, you know, the question, do I need to apply for probate or letters of administration? Now, probably don't have this in the title, but this obviously applies when somebody has died and you might be the executor or you might be the person that has top priority pursuant to Rule 603 of the Uniform Civil Procedure Rules in terms of letters of administration. And the question, the first question that really should be asked is, do I need to apply for probate or letters of administration? So quite often people will come to me and they will say, oh, you know, I've been named as executor, this person has passed away, what are my next steps? And the first thing that we do is go through the estate and what is in the estate, because there are some circumstances where you pretty much have to apply for probate or letters of administration. That's the only way you're going to access that asset. And there are circumstances where you actually don't need to. I think people sometimes think that it is a bit of a right that you have to, you know, undertake after someone dies. But it's not actually necessarily the case. It really depends on the assets within the estate. And that's why you want to make sure, you know, when you pass away, that your executor or, you know, the lawyer that you have used have a very clear understanding of what is in your estate. You know, make it easy for them a little bit. You know, I take very detailed notes of assets and liabilities for my clients so that if it does get to the point that they need to talk to me about what this, you know, might be in the estate, I have records of that. But there's no better record other than keeping all this stuff together in a really safe place. So some examples of times you might obtain probate or letters of administration. And that is pending the amount held in cash because banks are unlikely to release funds without a grant of probate. So this would be a situation where it's a, you know, an individual named bank account and it's quite a significant amount of money. All the banks are very different. I'm finding it's usually when funds are around $20,000 and above, but there can be some that have limits that are a little bit higher. It changes, so I honestly don't keep abreast of it at all. But if I always ask if there's a significant amount of cash, term deposit, something like that, banks usually, when it's an individual name, will not release funds without the grant of probate or the letters of administration. Another circumstance is where the person may have been living in a private nursing home and they have paid a rooming accommodation deposit. So it's now, I'm pretty sure they added it to the relevant legislation that they can't release the rooming accommodation deposit without probate. These amounts are very significant. So for those that, very quickly, little side note, for those that don't know what a room accommodation deposit is, when someone goes into a private nursing home, they pay a lump sum figure and that is held by the nursing home almost like a bond. And what the nursing home does is that they actually invest that money. That money is actually secured by the Commonwealth. They guarantee the funds. And so the nursing home earns interest on it while you're living in there. And then when you die, they essentially give it back to you. It's almost like a bond for the room that you have. So I've seen them anywhere in value from $200,000 up to $500,000. I've heard rumors of close to $1 million at a particular nursing home, but I don't know how real that is. But if the person has a rooming accommodation deposit, you'll definitely need probate. And another circumstance is where you might have superannuation that doesn't have any nominations and there are no dependents, or the dependents might be minors. So for example, if you have somebody that has passed away without a spouse, essentially, or any dependents, the super funds usually will not talk to anyone until they have obtained the letters of administration or the grant of probate. I'm finding this is more happening with people that have passed away without a will, because generally if you have passed away with a will and you've seen a solicitor, well, a good solicitor will make sure that you have updated your superannuation nomination. So sometimes that happens where they just won't talk to you without the appropriate authority. And same with life insurance. There may be circumstances in where there's not a beneficiary nominated, or maybe the beneficiary themselves has died and the life insurer will not speak to you and will not release funds until you've obtained that probate or the letters of administration. Another reason that you might obtain it is that the person that has passed away has multiple properties. So they might have a lot of properties in their name and you need to do like a lot of transfers, not just the one. So it's better to get probate otherwise. And I actually am not sure if they recently have changed the mechanism that they've done it, but I doubt it. If it's just one property, you often have to give the will two titles, the original, and they keep it. So where there's multiple properties, you can't do that. So you get the grant of probate instead. So those are asset reasons why you might apply for probate and letters of administration. It really does depend on the assets in the estate. One other thing to note is that when you apply for the grant of probate or letters of administration, you have to do an advertisement in the Queensland Law Reporter. And what is included usually is a notice to creditors. And what it does is it gives creditors 6 weeks to send any particulars of any claim they might have against the estate. This is really important because all the liabilities of the estate fall to the executor or the administrator personally. And so it does provide some kind of statutory protection if somebody doesn't pursue that claim that they may have within the 6 weeks. So that's another reason why you might go ahead with it. Now, on the flip side, there are circumstances where you might not apply for grant of probate or grant of letters of administration. This might be in the following circumstances. You may have somebody pass away that has a spouse. They own a property joint tenants, which means on death, it just gets transferred by law. They may only have joint bank accounts with that spouse. So if one person dies, the other person has joint bank accounts. They may have a super, but their super nomination is their spouse. It's valid, it's binding, it is their spouse. If that is the case, there aren't really circumstances there that warrant the money and the cost and the time of applying for grant of probate, because all the things in the estate, the main things in the estate, are really dealt with as a matter of law as opposed to an administration. And honestly, that will only really apply in a spousal situation like that, where there's a lot of joint assets and they just revert to the other person automatically. I have seen it before also where there's only been one main asset and it's been a house and it's been gifted to one person. In that circumstance, they didn't apply for probate and the will went to the titles office to effect that transfer. But because there wasn't anything else that probate was required, that was done to really save costs of the estate. Because I don't think that I did mention it yet, but the costs of obtaining probate or letters of administration are costs of the estate. Another reason that you might not apply for probate or letters of administration is where the estate is insolvent. Because as I mentioned earlier, the executor and the administrator become personally liable for the liabilities of the estate. So it may be where there's an insolvent state that is just too risky for that person to apply. There might not actually be anything in it. I do find this sometimes where people are on a lot of payment plans, afterpay or paying off furniture or things like that. And there's no real assets of the estate, maybe a little bit of cash, but really nothing else. In those circumstances, we don't recommend that the executor or the administrator apply to work that out. So it honestly is so dependent on what the estate looks like, what the assets are in there. And that's why when someone passes away, your first call should be contacting their solicitor. I also want to say, and this has happened quite often, if the deceased person has done a will with someone and they hold that will, it doesn't mean you have to go through the next steps with them. quite often I'll have people come to me and said, oh, well, we just went with the solicitor they use for their will, but they've not come back to us, taking too long, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to go with that person. You can hop on my website and book a free consult with me and we can talk about it. www.vicarlaw.com.au. You know, you're not tied to anyone at all. So if you find yourself as an executor or administrator and you want to talk more about this, you want to figure out what's in the estate, what's the best thing to do, yeah, hop on my website, book that free consultation. You can also send me an email, Lydia, L-I-D-I-A at vicarlaw.com.au. So I hope that's given you a bit of a flavor in terms of probate and letters of administration. I really like this topic this month, actually. So next week, we will continue and we will be talking about the role of the executor, the administrator of the estate in terms of administering the estate and what happens and how I can help you do that. That'll nicely flow in to our guests on the podcast. First guest, Danielle Phillips of Sage Executor Solutions, who will be joining us in the last week and talking about estate administration. So thank you so much for listening. Please like, share, follow my podcast. Otherwise, I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.